o'clock hour of Wildey and Tausch begins now. Thanks, as always, to Brian Malaga. We're going to get to the unsportsmanlike hot mess list that Tausch and Evan Cohen talked about coming up. I just want to touch on this and then have you tell us about Prize Picks. I read those Seth Walder, who again is the guru of ESPN analytics. Look, I don't pretend to be an expert in that at all. I don't understand it. I don't understand how detailed they are in the information. We had a learning about how to use ChatGPT recently, and someone compared it to training a dog, that you have to make sure you put in the right information to have it be effective. And we teased Jesse on Monday. There's a bunch of stuff from ChatGPT that I never said, right? I don't pretend to understand that. I don't pretend to understand analytics. But I'm curious if Tucker Kraft's injury and the fact that he's not among the players available for that fourth and eight play is in that analytics resolution or projection. I don't think it is. I don't think it takes in all those other variables. But I'm just telling you that according to them, which Matt LaFleur doesn't really follow analytics to begin with. He asked after the fact.
He's a gut guy. He's a gut guy.
Right. He could work for $565.
No, he can't afford him.
He'd want you to pay.
No, we can't afford him.
So my point is that I don't know. I'm not a believer in analytics. I think it's another piece of information that you can use to make decisions. But if I don't have Tucker Kraft on fourth and eight from the 13-yard line, and I've got 11 minutes left on the clock, I totally understand why most of us, myself included, would have kicked the field goal there. Matt LaFleur felt like possessions were at a premium. He felt like he had to go for it. He did not succeed. But to your point, Tausch, I don't know enough about analytics to be able to say, okay, does Tucker Kraft's absence get factored into those numbers? Because I feel a lot better about them getting a fourth and eight if he's on the field as opposed to he's just been carted to the locker room.
Well, and the same thing if it's fourth and one and you have Jalen Carter and the other big dude from Georgia that's coming into town this weekend. Like, it's a heck of a lot easier to get it against guys that are more pedestrian than those guys. There's all these other factors that go into a game. And so I think there's a big place for analytics. I think there's been a lot of things going for it on fourth down. More has made, I think, teams better. I think it's helped Dan Campbell build his team in Detroit by doing that. I used to be a big believer in you have to get this game down to a one-score game. If you're down nine, you kick the extra point and get down eight. I've swayed on that now. I don't mind going for it. I think when you're up seven, I don't mind if you go for two to try to daggerize people. Like, there's some things that I have. I'm a stubborn dude. But
no.
I am also, if you give me good information, I'm open to hearing it and adopting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to act like I'm one of these old farts telling you, oh, analytics are for nerds and all this. Because analytics are important. But there are certain times that they're just wrong. This is one of those times. And, oh, you can play the results. Now, in real time and back time and, you know, hindsight time, all of it, it was just the wrong move. And I don't care if Seth Walder and ESPN tell you it wasn't, because it was. And you could 1%. They're always going to say, because you know something in life, you're always going to be better off being aggressive.
Fortune favors the bold.
There you go. Unless you're one of those crypto cats that did that and you lost all your money. All right.
Making a comeback.
So, it's actually dropped a bunch. But I digress. They're always going to favor being aggressive. If you're playing poker, if you're aggressive, you can get people out. If you're playing football and you accomplish it, it's awesome. But it also, sometimes, I swear coaches are using this as a crutch.
Well, analytics told me I had to go for it.
What am I paying you for then? You need to understand flow of game and what we need, too.
I agree.
If you want Seth Walder, hire Seth Walder for a couple hundred grand, take the rest of the money and donate it. You're out there because you know your team, you know the other team, you know the odds of how you're going to, if you're going to be effective. And if Matt LaFleur had to do it again, he'd kick the blanking field goal and they'd have won the game. But he didn't. And that's on him, not on Seth Walder.
I don't know if you took Brandon McManus more or less field goals, but had he kicked the field goal there, you definitely would have gotten more.
Well, you'd had to go less with everything Milwaukee Bucks last night, am I right? That was bad. You go more on any Toronto Raptor, you're probably in pretty good shape. And Prize Picks is the best way to cash in this sports season, whether it's football, basketball, or both. Prize Picks makes every game more exciting. I've been playing Prize Picks for a while. It's fun and it's simple. Take your sports opinions. Who's going to have a big night? Who's not? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds, and you can turn that take into some real cash. Just pick more or less on at least two players. Get them right. Cash in. And now Prize Picks has stacks. Pick the same player up to three times in one lineup. You want more on Giannis' points and rebounds and assists? Well, stack them. Can only do that on Prize Picks. Plus, you can follow other players, copy their lineups. You see Jesse just killing it. You see other people just killing it. Say, let's ride that wave. Analytics tells me 48% of the time they're going to be right. Let's do it. And you also get injury reboots. Deposits are fast, easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI, and you get $50 in lineups after your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI for Prize Picks. Prize Picks, it's good
to be right. Is Evan Cohen right that the Packers are a, quote, hot mess? We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
They go, baby, go, go, go.
Let's hear from our guy, Evan Cohen, who joined us yesterday. Now, refresh my memory. You thought he was going to say the Packers were a hot mess, and you don't agree with that assessment?
No, I don't agree with it. No, Evan obviously is a great host. He's been on SiriusXM. He's done
very good at what he does.
He is very good at what he does. But he's as predictable as pudding.
Is pudding predictable?
Yeah, it's got a good consistency. You know, if you do what you're going to do, it's going to be very consistent. Yes.
You do what you're going to do.
Not a big fan of the skin on top of a good pudding, though.
Okay. Here is what Evan Cohen had to say.
I don't think pudding's predictable at all.
How do you figure?
Because you can really screw it up if you're making it yourself.
You put a little too much milk in it.
You can screw anything up if you don't do it.
You let it sit in the fridge without touching it for like 24 hours, and it gets a little like watery and runny. You gotta like.
Yeah. Where did that saying come from then?
I don't. It came from you.
No, somebody. I promise you, I didn't invent
predictable as pudding.
I didn't invent it. Put it in ChatGPT. See where it came from. So, anyways. Evco.
As predictable as...
Oh, go ahead.
When I type it in, apparently it's in a film called Last Christmas, maybe? All right. I'd like to hear what Evan Cohen said predictably about the Packers being a hot mess.
So is pudding predictable or not?
I'm going to keep looking into this.
Okay.
I think you've made this up. I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I have never heard it before now.
No way have you never heard predictable as pudding.
I have heard it before. You know who I heard it from? You. I think you've used that line before. Here's Evan Cohen.
After they lost to the Cleveland Browns earlier this season, our buddy, ESPN Wisconsin, former Packer and Badger, Mark Tauscher, said, and I thought, oh, there's interesting what he's saying. He's like, maybe this is a good thing for them. You get that bad loss out of the way. Everyone was hyping you on unsportsmanlike. They go to the Thursday night football game against the Commanders. They're on the air on Friday morning, and we are hyping that team like crazy. You need a little reset, and that gave them the reset. But I thought it was over. And I understand the Carolina Panthers have a winning record, but do you realize what's happened over the last now few days? They lost to the Panthers. Tucker Kraft, who's their number one weapon, is out for the season. And their next game is against the Philadelphia Eagles. Game on ESPN, Monday Night Football, of course. I'm sorry. For this week and this week only at 5-2-1, I had no choice but to put the Green Bay Packers on the list.
Feels a little engagement farming to me from him. Is that fair?
Yeah. That's fair.
Because I looked at his list, and Cincinnati's by far number one this week because I'm telling you, what a disastrous mess that place is, and it's going to get worse. The Washington Commanders put their quarterback out there who's been injured all year, blows his elbow 30. Out. Their season's donezo.
Yeah, not good, Bob.
And he ain't even on the list. They got the G&G who still leads their division, had a crappy game, no doubt about it. And they're putting him fifth. Like, come on now. I get it. Packers drive eyeballs. I understand all that and eardrums. But come on now. Like, if you want to put him sixth, I can maybe get along with that. But come on now. Come on now.
Yeah. So we have a theory, Jon Snow and I, in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments. Are you conflating multiple sayings? Because this was what I was going to ask you. Are you sure you're not thinking of the proof is in the pudding?
I'm not sure of anything.
That one I have heard several
you
times.
You don't think predictable as pudding is a saying?
No.
I think as it right is. As rain.
I've heard
easy
that.
Easy as
I've
pie.
Heard that one. What is right as rain? Who wants to be out in a rainstorm? Nobody.
Also,
weathermen are wrong a lot about
that. They are. Yeah. The percentage thing is a whole other deal with analytics and foolishness, but I'm not going to get into that today.
Okay. Well, speaking of foolishness, it's time to talk to Uncle Homer. He's going to join us coming up. I wonder where he stands. He was very angry last night.
What's he mad about?
When I said that LaFleur didn't check the analytics about going for it versus kicking the field goal until after the fact, that he just went with his gut. He thought that was, as Homer often does, he thought that was a fireable offense and it was galactically stupid. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about a variety
of things. Just wait a second. If that's the case, Homer and I both agreed they kicked the field goal. Then he should have went for it and he actually did it right.
Based on the analytics.
So then what apparently. Is Homer mad about?
Well, I didn't have Seth's information when I talked to him.
Why don't you just ask him when he's on next?
We could, and we will. After I tell you about our friends at Lakeland Supply, Vince and the team there are phenomenal. It's been great to have them as a partner on Wilde and Tausch because they have core values just like we do. And it's an important piece to any successful business. And a mildly successful radio show as well. Lakeland Supply is no different in displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for more than 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, they're top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. They're not one of those catalog companies either now. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Uncle Homer joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at zimbrickchevrolet.com.
You know what that music means. Back for his 36th season as the voice of Marquette men's basketball. Also, the best 46 minutes, excluding commercials, of your day, the Homer Hour. I'll be on there tonight with him. I was on there last night with him and John Anderson. I'll be on with him tomorrow night with Brian Bulaga. You can tune in across ESPN Wisconsin for that. And, of course, you can always find him on YouTube talking about the Lord on God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Last week we talked with Buzz Williams' daughter, who is now working for Young Life. It was fabulous. I think we'll have it up in a week or so.
Buzz is the coach at Maryland now? Maryland? Is that where he is? Buzz, where's he at now? Maryland?
He'll be playing at Marquette in a couple weeks. Week from Saturday.
Is he your favorite coach of all time at Marquette?
That you've done the play-by-play for?
No. No.
Who is?
Tom Crean.
Yeah, you bring in Dwayne Wade, it's top of the list forever.
How about the one you had the best relationship with?
It's Buzz.
The worst relationship with Tom Crean.
Oh, I know.
The best relationship was probably Kevin O'Neill because it was so bizarre.
He was kind of a surly guy, wasn't he?
He's nuts.
Oh,
and
nuts.
That's being
no wonder you guys got along.
Nuts. Yeah, but you always knew where you stood. To me, which is most important, as George Thompson told me the first day we met, Homer, they're all crazy. Always remember that. They're all crazy. And so that when they're crazy, all you ask is that, regardless of what they do, that it's 100% exactly the way they feel. And that was always true with Kevin O'Neill. He has, there are stories I simply can't use on the radio. So, and the best game coach was Mike Dean.
Not Bob Duquette?
I miss the Bob Duquette era, so I can't really speak to that.
Played the piano, from what I understand.
What?
He played the piano at his introductory press conference.
No, he played it very well. Much better than he coached. But I don't know if his problem was the players he had or the way he coached, because it's almost always the players. You can be a horrible coach, like what LaFleur did at the end of the game, and you can still win if you have good players.
But Homer, so I have to ask you this, because Jason said this going out. We had Johnny Wallers Jason Wallers just gave Jason
Seth Walters. Seth Walder
from ESPN Analytics just sent Jason a note that the right move for Matt LaFleur, according to analytics, was to go for it. You got all upset last night, Jason said, because you thought Matt LaFleur didn't know. So it turns out you owe Matt LaFleur an apology because he actually listened to the analytical people.
Knowing it.
He didn't. It doesn't matter that he did. He didn't use that. The only legitimate defense.
But he did what the analytics said.
One would be analytics. But if he didn't use analytics, then what he did was bad high school coaching.
But he ended up using the analytics, Homer, that you wanted him to use.
But he didn't know what they were.
But he ended up doing it.
You can't give credit for somebody making a decision because they did it equal to something when they didn't even use it.
But he ended up utilizing the data that he shouldn't. Who's not
wrong? He did what he was supposed to do according to analytics. He didn't make his decision based on the analytics. It did not factor into his decision. He only found out later that the analytics would indicate that the decision he made was correct.
I'd rather him lie to you and say, yeah, I used analytics.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, if Homer's going to argue that his criticism is that he didn't consult the analytics people until after the fact, he's not wrong to think that. And you know how much it pains me to defend him.
Yeah,
And I also want to emphasize, there's a difference, I believe, in analytics. AI, what you referred to, said that was stupid, that he should have kicked the field goal. So my emphasis would be on, I believe there are a different analytics that needs to be looked at as well. And the premise, as you alluded to, that the analytics do not factor in the current situation of that game, I believe is also accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time, analytics will get even better. For example, we now have available throughout a game this stat as to who's likely to win the game, right? And it varies.
Win
throughout.
Probability.
I don't believe that analytics uses that in terms of determining. I think it's based more on the statistics of all the games that have occurred at that point in the game as well. So my answer is analytics, I believe there's a difference within it. I don't know that the person that ESPN uses. So
my issue is I'm not comfortable because I don't understand it well enough to know whether or I don't. I was watching
–
Stats. Can I finish?
All AI is stats.
No, I don't. I believe me. Jesse can tell you how accurate AI is at this juncture. But I was watching the documentary on Netflix about the 2004 Red Sox, And they used a graphic during some of those games in the documentary of win probability, right? When they blow the lead against the Yankees the previous year and everything else. Again, my issue with it is what we all agree on here. So let's talk about what we all agree on, which is
we agree
the numbers do not also factor in. Like, for example, I am sure that the analytics would have told Mike McCarthy in 2015, after they score the game, put the game tying touchdown, or what can be the game tying or game winning touchdown, depending on what they do on the extra point in Arizona, after the back to back Hail Marys to your guy Jeff Janis, I'm sure the analytics say go for two, try to win the game, you're on the road. What it doesn't factor in is Jeff Janis is even hurt after that play. They have two wide receivers available, James Jones and Jared Aberderis.
Throw a back shoulder
for
to Jones.
A two-point.
Throw a back shoulder fade to James Jones.
I am telling you that Mike McCarthy was like, I don't like my options based on who I have available for the play.
But he likes the options of going to play in an extra overtime with him?
I think he was hoping that Janis would be okay. He had just banged his back landing.
Hope in
on
one
the
hand,
touchdown.
Blank in the other, am I right?
My point is that, to your point, I don't believe that the analytics say you don't have Tucker Kraft available. Then what is the percentage of you winning if you go for the fourth and eight versus kicking the field goal? Those are the types of subtleties that I have an issue with. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I think I'm good with analytics for now.
Okay. What it would tell you is that if the analytics were like 80%, there's a certain number that's so high that even without Kraft, you would consider it.
Sure.
The analytics are very close, regardless of that additional information. It's impossible to defend his position. Impossible. The only thing was analytics, but he didn't even use it. So,
all right, I'm done with analytics. Can we put a bow on that?
No, you can't be.
No, for this conversation, not in general. No, I think there's a value to it, but I'm saying I'm done. Like, you guys have bored me with this, if I'm being honest.
You're right. Okay. We need to move on.
What was your how did you feel with nothing at the trade deadline yesterday?
Not at all surprised nor bothered.
Okay. We're good.
I would have considered a tight end, but I think they like the key to Musgrave is only one thing. Can he stay healthy? If he stays healthy,
and
the loss
up.
Will not be as great as people think, because you want to know what they have to do? Just copy the last drive of the last game. It needs to be emphasized that as bad as some of the plays were by Jordan Love, he did exactly what a Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers does. Suck, 7 minutes left. We need a touchdown. Go down and get the touchdown. And they moved the ball very well.
They
in
did.
That process. Musgrave was a big part. That's all they got to do now that the grass is gone. And yet the defense screwed up.
You're blaming that on the defense, huh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Defense, yes. They gave up a 20-yard run. The quarterback was horrible, and the hole was as big as Texas. How the hell does
it's
that
a big
happen?
Hole.
I said last night for the first time since he retired, they missed A.J. Hawk.
Wow, that drive been, that's a lot
that,
coming
that
from
run
you.
That would have been 5 yards old. A.J. would have nailed him after a five or six-yard game right there.
You're a jerk. That's not very nice.
What do you mean it's nice?
It's not nice. No, come
what
on.
What do you mean?
That's jerk storish.
What?
That's jerk storish.
Get analytics on the average gain on a run when A.J. Hawk made the tackle.
I can't take the word analytics anymore.
Sorry. Look up the stats. They were stats back then, not analytics.
All right, so with a little bit of time here, and Jesse brought this up in a break, and I tend to agree with Johnny from Oregon that just called in. He said everybody is so negative because we lost to the Panthers. And my point was this is a Elizabeth Kugler deal. Like, we're going to go through, you're going to be mad, and then you're going to
Johnny in Oregon and Elizabeth Kugler.
You're going
Kugler.
Through all this stuff, and the bottom line is, yeah, you lost a home game against an average team. But let's not act as if the world has fallen on the G&G and that this season is donezo because we lost one blanket game to Carolina. There's still – you just brought it up, and that reminded me of bringing this to you. It went down and scored a tutter. Now, are they consistent enough? Absolutely not. But we've seen enough to know that this is a good football team. We just haven't seen it consistently enough. Is everybody being too blank and negative about the G&G right now?
No, because it's not the loss. It's the loss and the loss of your best offensive player. That's why. And are you correct that it's not as bad as thought? Yes, they'll get a chance to do something the rest of the season because they've shown us enough very good things. But it's really tough.
Yeah.
Lose the game and lose him.
I agree with that. And the Tucker Kraft replacement, it's going to be, if they can't figure that out, I will say we haven't been negative enough. But
no, they'll figure it out. Musgrave is a nice option.
They're going to have to. We don't know if they'll figure it out. We'll have to see. I think they will. I hope they do.
We saw it the last drive of the game, sir.
Okay, sir.
That's all they have to copy.
Okay.
They pass the ball.
Just throw it to Musgrave. Yep.
No. He's got to be a part of it. They pass the ball the majority of plays, which there's been a lot of stats about the need to do that.
Analytics say they should run more.
When they got the first and goal inside the 10, they ran the ball three times in a row.
Yeah. Not great.
They scored a touchdown doing that.
How critical. Yeah, I don't know what Homer's talking about. How critical.
What do you mean? Hold on.
You weren't even listening. You're bored.
They have to have an offense that stresses the pass more than it's done. They've been very good at the pass, but they still have to run the ball in certain situations well. Like that time, once you got first and goal. Or if you get a lead, you have to be able to run the ball well to run the clock. So they do not need to focus on running the ball as much when the game starts. To score points, they're going to have to pass the ball more. I hope Bulaga's listening because he will disagree, but
I believe you already brought it up.
Nobody cares about the run game.
He brought it up, and we dismissed it. All right, Homer, how big – do you think this is as big of a game on Monday, just for the psychology both of the fans and the team? If they go and Philly beats us up, there are going to be a lot of people jumping off this ship.
Yeah. So, I don't care. You played on the team. All you cared about was in the locker room.
I'm asking about the team.
Okay, I will defer to you, but there is concern to believe that they're fragile. However, they have enough talent that, no, this is not the end of the season if they get killed by the Eagles.
All right, so it's not even that big a deal. It's not even as big a game as the Pittsburgh game was.
Nice.
That's what analytics told me.
You could just do it. Just like that.
Analytics. That's what it's all about.
Stats. Don't ever use the word analytics. Just say stats.
Data. I'm going to say data points, too. That's another fun buzzword.
Data points. And by the way, the loss to Carolina was historic because almost no teams at home as a two-touchdown favorite lose. 89% win.
Is that analytics? Arguably. Which analytics firm gave you that?
No.
All right, time to go.
No, it's that.
Yeah. Homer, I'll talk to you tonight. Thanks.
Bye.
That is Steve the Homer True. Tell us about Coors Lights.
I need a Coors Light after all that analytical talk. Analytics tell me I need to have a Coors Light when I need to chill. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win Monday night after the Pack beat up on the Philadelphia Eagles. You need a moment to chill. Just crack open that Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and cold package because it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
I missed the DJ horn, and I hit the Barry Alvarez button by accident. Sorry.
I'm going to go boo in a bar with a Coors Light.
Go boo in a bar.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see
thanks to Homer. Always thoroughly enjoy our time with him, even when people proclaim that they are bored with the conversation.
We said the word analytics 35 times in a 3-minute period of time, Jay. Like, come on now. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, to see what the analytics are and the amount of times analytics was said during that segment.
I mean, it was absurd, right?
It was as thick as pudding. The proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is that we moved
on. I think I need to be
that.
More specific, because tapioca is a whole different animal with its texture and everything else. That's not as consistent.
No one thinks tapioca first when you say pudding.
That's chocolate.
You think like chocolate pudding or butterscotch. Yeah,
butterscotch is good. I think butterscotch is uber underrated. I do. Yep.
The analytics would say so.
Analytics would tell you it's going to be chocolate in a big way. And then vanilla is probably second. And then you got the mix. I think the mix is always fun, right? Is there a protein pudding?
We made a homemade version.
Because you know yogurt has gotten into their you know, especially Greek, they're firing up that protein. People look at it like, yeah, because yogurt's a nice, fun dessert. If you get it. So everybody wants to add protein, everything. That's the big thing. Is there a protein pudding?
There is. Yes, there's a variety of flavors as well.
Okay.
They're not ice cream, though, so I can't tell you.
No, I'm not asking you to tell me the brands, but just curious.
But yes, if you're interested, it looks to me like you can actually get a variety pack of banana, chocolate, vanilla, and peanut butter.
Is there 100 grand in there?
Pudding pack and 100 grand.
Variety pack. You know there's Kit Kats in there. You can take that to the bank. Are we doing take it to the bank right now?
No, we're doing UW Credit Union right now.
Well, for every stage of life, your pudding stage, your yogurt stage, whatever stage, UW Credit Union is here forever. You proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. I'll tell you what. You know, we love their being banking local and their member first service. They're great perks like early payday. I love that T-shirt cannon, too. Like, it is fun. I'm still irritated. I worked through some things. I wanted to get a T-shirt gun up in the booth, and I wanted to fire T-shirts up in that same break that they do the big cannon. Couldn't get it done. I think LePay's going to figure out a way to do it for basketball, and I'm going to be irritated about it, but I love the fact UW Credit Union, we're at the game, they're firing shirts out, people are excited about it, because they're out in the community doing great stuff, and if you love Wisconsin like I do, you can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but this makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today, get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA, terms and conditions apply. Why are you laughing?
I just... You have some pull, I'm sure.
No.
Not a football game. I don't think you could do it in a football game.
The angle is bad. They said it was bad angling.
Insurance concerns.
It's a T-shirt gun, people.
The thing is designed to throw it around the entire stadium.
I'm not taking the whole rotary deal. I'm talking about a baby gun where you shoot it, beep, 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 beep. And if they need, I'll go out to that back balcony.
Out with a baby gun?
Well, it's a...
Boxer shorts?
No, you,
you
can
smaller
put a little
item.
They don't even have one of these.
There.
You'd have to get a custom-made baby gun for the T-shirt you want to do.
I've had this discussion, and people love the idea.
The angles
from where we're sitting to watch the game don't work, and it's frustrating.
If you really wanted to do the UW Credit Union T-shirt cannon...
I don't want to do
the
cannon.
No, he wants his own baby gun from the booth.
So, yes,
if they
said,
come to a men's basketball game, come to a volleyball match and do it, you would say no thanks?
No, I already want to be there. I want to do it during the football games. Yes.
I can't believe you haven't figured out how to make this work yet then.
Well, I could grab some T-shirts and just fire. I could go grab the Boo in a Bar T-shirts that we got and fire them at people. I don't think that's probably going to be viewed very highly from certain people, but that's the way it
goes. Alvarez might enjoy it.
I don't know if he would either.
Okay. The 11 o'clock hour will start without a baby T-shirt gun, and it will start.
This is the first time I brought this up to you guys, because this has been on my mind for a while.
It is, yeah.
I'm glad I'm sharing with you guys today.
I was bored, personally. We'll start the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.